This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Biomega Fish Oil from Biotics Research. For over 40 years, Biotics Research has been providing the highest quality supplements, surpassing industry standards. Biomega Fish Oil contains therapeutic doses of vital omega-3s in the triglyceride form, which is highly bioavailable. Biotics Research ensures maximum purity and freshness by managing their fish oils from catch to capsule, verified by rigorous independent testing. For more information, go to drhoffman.com/biotics research. That's drhoffman.com/biotics research for Biomega Fish Oil.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to another hour of the weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and our number 877-726-8255. And bear in mind that even if you can't reach us this hour, that's a 24/7 number. You can record a question, and we often take recorded calls during the program. So jot that number down, 877-726-8255. Okay, let's go. We're going to talk about this hour. How a couple of apples a day may keep the cardiologist away. Vitamin D for prevention of breast cancer. All that's coming up this hour. But I want to start by talking about low-carb and low-GI diets for prevention of cardiovascular disease and diabetes. This has really been the trend ever since Dr. Atkins reinvigorated very low-carb diets. We have to give him a debt of gratitude because he was a popularizer of the notion that if we cut carbs, we can improve blood sugar. And he really nailed it because a high percentage of the diseases that afflict Western man are diseases related to excess carbohydrates, and especially the readily available kind, the so-called high glycemic index carbohydrates. And so there are a bunch of studies that I'm going to share with you that take a look at the impact of either low-carb or low-glycemic index carbohydrates on various parameters of health. And I'm reading from my latest edition of the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. It's 2020, just came out this year. And it's a very big study. It's something called the Pre-Dimed Randomized Trial. And it involved it's an international study, top experts across the world. And what they say in the study, they make a very interesting admission. They say after the disappointing results of low-fat diets in preventing cardiovascular disease, that's a very important sentence there, the disappointing results of low-fat diets in preventing cardiovascular disease. So this portends a sea change in the way we think about cardiovascular risk. They then add, carbohydrates have become the focus of intense interest in nutritional epidemiology. The question of whether the quality of carbohydrates in the diet, rather than their relative quantity, can positively impact population health outcomes has become very relevant. I would say it's both. It's the quantity of carbohydrates, but also the quality of carbohydrates. I'm not on a no-carbohydrate keto diet myself, but the carbohydrates that I take in are very low glycemic. That means that they release their sugars very slowly. The opposite of that is when you drink a can of sugary soda and whammo, it hits you upside your head. What they say here, the authors concluded that higher intakes of dietary fiber or whole grains were associated with reduced incidence of cardiometabolic diseases, type 2 diabetes, colorectal, breast, and esophageal cancer, as well as all-cause and cardiovascular-related mortality. I'll take that in a heartbeat. They say, in other words, fostering dietary patterns such as the Mediterranean diet, which features fiber, fish, vegetables, and fruits, and minimizes soda and sugar-sweetened beverages would presumably result in a far greater impact on health than any other intervention. But they hasten to add that the additional precautions suggested by our results in subjects with metabolic syndrome, that is, prediabetes, big belly, high triglycerides, bad cholesterol to HDL ratio, prehypertension, prediabetes, that's metabolic syndrome. And it afflicts, maybe 60% of American adults. The additional precaution suggested by our results in subjects with metabolic syndrome is reduction of the consumption of white bread and other refined grains, despite the fact that they are included in Mediterranean-type diets. Yeah, there's bread. But they suggest that you eschew the bread because of its suboptimal carbohydrate quality. Yeah, okay. So that's one big study, the pre-Diamed study. Another study also in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition this year. It's a review. Low glycemic index diets as an intervention for diabetes. A systematic review and meta-analysis. They looked at dozens and dozens of studies. They crunched the numbers. And they found that low glycemic index diets were effective at reducing hemoglobin A1C, that's a measure of blood sugar, fasting glucose, body mass index, total cholesterol, and LDL. And the greatest reduction in fasting blood glucose was seen in the studies of the longest duration. So, okay, yeah, that's going to make sense. Got to stick to it. And the results are going to be more dramatic. Both total cholesterol and LDL were lowered by low GI diets. Well, that's a surprise. Hey, that's not about dietary fat or saturated fat or cholesterol. It's simply reducing the amount of readily available carbohydrates in high-test foods like candy and soda, white bread, and, all the refined junk that we find as a mainstay of a lot of Western diets. So here's an interesting one. What else can this diet do, the low glycemic index diet or low glycemic load diet? Pretty cool study. Based on the Women's Health Initiative, they did that a long time ago, but they're still crunching the data. And what they found is that high glycemic index diets, in other words, diets that are full of sugar or readily available carbohydrates, could be a risk factor for insomnia in postmenopausal women. Wow. Substitution of high glycemic index foods with minimally processed whole fiber-rich carbohydrates should be evaluated as potential treatments of and primary preventive measures for insomnia in postmenopausal women. And I'll comment on that, is that, we see a lot of people who are overweight, and they have high cholesterol, high triglycerides, cardiovascular risk. They're told they need to go on statins. And we put them on a low GI diet. In addition to supplements, of course. When they come back, they say it's great. I've lost, 5, 8, 10, 12 pounds. It's great. Look at my cholesterol. It's down, 50, 80 points. My HDL hasn't changed. It's gone up slightly. My triglycerides went down 100 points. It's all good. Blood sugar, hemoglobin A1C is improved, everything. And oh, by the way, I'm really sleeping well. I used to have such restless nights. Well, hey, when we test people for blood sugar, we see sometimes, even in non-diabetics, ups and downs of blood sugar. They're on a blood sugar roller coaster. Hypoglycemia, low blood sugar, reactive hypoglycemia after a sugary meal. Blood sugar goes up. Whatever goes up must come down in a reactive fashion. That can be the basis for restlessness, waking up, even with, those familiar postmenopausal sweats. Low blood sugar also causes that. And people sleep better and deeper when their blood sugar is better regulated. Okay, another ancillary benefit of that type of diet. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 877-726-8255 is our number for Intelligent Medicine.
Now more than ever, it is important to have a healthy immune system. Many health professionals agree that probiotics are a leading natural therapy for boosting immune health. Why? Because 70% of your body's immune cells reside in the GI tract. By taking a superior probiotic daily, like Dr. O'Hara's probiotics with their postbiotic metabolites, you can enhance your overall immune system and immune response. For additional immune support, get RegActive's immune formula to boost your glutathione levels. Since our glutathione levels go down if we feel stressed, maintaining glutathione levels is a key factor for natural defense. For a short-term immune boost, try Dr. O'Hara's Propolis Plus, which provides probiotic and immune support and includes Brazilian green propolis for superior antioxidant support and vitamin E, astaxanthin, and flax oil. Be proactive about your immune health. Ask your retailer today about Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, RegActive immune formula, and Dr. O'Hara's Propolis Plus today, also available online.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As you know, this is a vital time to bolster our immune defenses. I've received countless requests for a specific list of supplements that I recommend to support immune health. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Immune Support Protocol, my supplement recommendations offering the greatest boost for your immune system when it's needed most. Best medicine is preventive medicine. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com for more information. drhoffmanstore.com. In addition to the immune support protocol, you'll find easy-to-follow links for our supplement starter kit, heart health protocol, and much more. These protocols are an easy way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need to help you follow the intelligent medicine lifestyle. The same supplements I take for myself and prescribe for my patients. And for a limited time, you'll get free priority shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. All right, promise to talk to you about this. Your cardiologist may say to you, take two apples and call me, not in the morning, but call me in a couple of months, and maybe, just maybe, you won't need to be on that statin drug. We can lower your cholesterol with two apples a day. You know, I love studies like this because they're practical import. You know, there are many studies that I read and I go, eh, that's too complicated for our listeners. I'll just, you know, file that in my memory banks. But this is of great practical import. The study is entitled, Two Apples a Day Lower Serum Cholesterol and Improve Cardiometabolic Biomarkers in Individuals with High Cholesterol. It's a randomized controlled crossover trial. All they did was they gave two apples a day to some folks. I'm not sure what they use as a control. What's, did they make placebo apples? You know, apples that weren't really apples. Yeah, I'm not sure how they pulled that off. But anyway, they gave apples two a day. They note that apples represent 12.5% of all consumed fruit in the world due to their taste and convenience. And simple intervention, you know, it's true. An apple a day will keep the doctor away. Well, in this case, two apples. What they found was that whole apple consumption decreased total cholesterol and LDL cholesterol. It also helped with what's called endothelium-dependent microvascular vasodilatation. That's really a mouthful, but what it means is that it kept the blood flowing. There was improved blood flow as measured by sensitive tests, and that's, you know, a very important factor in terms of cardiovascular disease and circulatory problems. So very cool study. What's in it? What's the magic ingredient in apples? Well, apples contain beneficial polyphenols, right? And a lot of healthy fiber. So these substances can have a really good effect on your cardiovascular risk profile, as well as improving endothelium-dependent microvascular vasodilatation, improving your circulation. All right, if you want to improve your energy, say you're suffering from frequent fatigue, well, who doesn't from time to time? This is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. It's NT Factor from Nutritional Therapeutics. NT Factor repairs the mitochondria. And that's where it's at in terms of energy production. Clinical trials have shown that NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half. It's available at ProPax, which is your one-stop shop for all your vitamin mineral needs. It's got fish oil in it as well. It comes in a pack. It's convenient, along with NT Factor. But say you want to keep your multi and your fish oil, and yet still harness the power of NT factor alone? Well, there's healthy aging, the perfect accompaniment to whatever supplement regimen you're already taking. Healthy aging provides you with a unique energy support, a pure NT factor, and a potent delivery system. I've been taking NT factor for years. I don't go a day without it. With a 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. Please note that even though they're no longer shipping to Vitamin Shoppe, you can still find ProPacks and Healthy Aging at your favorite health food store or online retailer, or to order direct, call 800-982-9158. That's 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com. And check out their new website. They're very proud of it. It's a great source of information about this remarkable nutrient. Okay, this item has to do with the hypothesis that vitamin D has something to do with the risk of breast cancer. And so in this study, they looked at a group that is traditionally pretty low in vitamin D, and that's African-American women. And why is that? Well, for one, if you already have dark skin, you may not have that much of an impetus to spend a lot of time tanning your hide in the sun. You know, it's light-skinned folk who want that kind of healthy-looking tan. People already have dark pigmented skin. Don't spend that much time baking in the sun. Number two, all that melanin in your skin actually blocks the UV rays that can trigger the production of vitamin D in the skin. So, therefore, African-American women and men are at high risk for vitamin D deficiency. It's also thought that this may be one of the reasons why African-American men have a higher risk of prostate cancer statistically, because of low vitamin D. So they looked at 724 African-American women, and they found that supplemental vitamin D reduced the risk of breast cancer. In addition, more daylight hours spent outdoors in a year was associated with a lower risk of breast cancer. Now, of interest was, you know, how much vitamin D did it take? Did it take mega doses? Did they have to take 5,000 or 10,000 international units of vitamin D? And it turns out that intake of up to 800 IUs per day, that's all it took, helped reduce the risk of breast cancer. But when the intake was over 800 international units per day, there was no additional benefit, suggesting that, you know, vitamin D is great, and moderate doses for African-American women will confer protection even without going into mega dosing of vitamin D. All right, when we return, more research highlights. We're going to talk a little bit about green tea and reduction of breast cancer risk, lots of other stories. 877-726-8255, that number available 24/7 for you to record a question. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Check out our website at drhoffman.com for more information. And this is Intelligent Medicine. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and it's that time of year again when everyone suffers from some kind of upper respiratory problem. We miss work and feel miserable spending too much time with doctors and pharmacists. That is, unless we protect ourselves and our families with a product that I recommend to my patients, Clear Saline Nasal Spray and Sinus Rinse. Clear combines unique properties of xylitol and the health-promoting benefits of a saline nasal spray to help cleanse, moisturize, and soothe your sinuses and nasal passages. Clear helps wash away bacteria, pollens, and other irritants before they have a chance to attack the sensitive tissues in your upper respiratory tract. Clear is easy to use, effective, and safe for people of all ages. Clear is simply your best defense in an increasingly dirty and polluted world. I use it myself. You can find Clear Saline Nasal Spray and Sinus Wash at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, CVS, Rite Aid, and other drugstore supermarkets and pharmacies near you, as well as Amazon. Or you can visit Clear on the web at clear.com. That's www.xlear.com.
The latest trend to hit the store shelves has the whole country buzzing. Cannabidiol, or CBD, might just be the greatest discovery of our generation, and it comes from a plant that is not so new, agricultural hemp. Yes, after 70 years of prohibition and misunderstanding, hemp is back to help you stay healthy and balanced. Growing research is showing that we have a lot to learn from the remarkable hemp plant. Nutrient-rich products like Plus CBD Oil's Total Plant Complex concentrated products provide broad-spectrum nutrition, including fatty acids, plant sterols, cannabinoids, terpenes, and naturally occurring vitamin E. From seed to shelf, all Plus CBD Oil products provide the highest quality hemp-derived CBD products available and are offered in a variety of delivery systems and flavors to suit your needs. Ask your local independent health food store about Plus CBD Oil products by CV Sciences today and learn more about the CBD evolution at PlusCBDOil.com. That's PlusCBDOil.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here, 877-726-8255. And low-fat diets have really taken a hit. You know, as I mentioned in the first part of this hour, there is a widespread admission among really top-flight nutrition experts that low-fat diets don't really reduce cardiovascular risk. They tend to introduce a lot of carbohydrates because without the fat, what are you going to take for satiety? You're going to end up eating more carbs. And so low-fat diets, not established as a way of preventing cardiovascular disease. Also, this whole mantra about avoid high-fat or full-fat dairy, make sure that you substitute vegetable oil for butter, not a good idea because vegetable oils have pro-inflammatory effects. They're made from omega-6 oils, and many studies suggest that one of the biggest hazards in the Western diet is the widespread introduction of refined industrialized vegetable oil. When we used to use butter and lard, and in my family tradition, my ancestors are from Poland, schmaltz, which is chicken fat. It was highly prized. I was recently reading a novel about Poland in the Middle Ages, and the peasants in Poland rarely ate any animal fat. The all the wild game belonged to the barons who owned the serfs. And people subsisted basically on buckwheat groats and potatoes and cabbage and beets dug up from the soil. And so occasionally there would be a big thing. They'd be like maybe the landowner, the serf owner, you know, his daughter would be given away in marriage. And there would be a big celebration and they would slaughter a pig. And maybe they would give, you know, some of the hooves and the intestines to the serfs. But another thing that was a big deal is occasionally they would get a chicken. You know, that was a very big deal, you know, maybe a couple times a year. So these, the you know, very low-fat diets, taking the skin off chicken and measures of that type, not been shown to be helpful in terms of preventing cardiovascular disease. Okay, well, here's a study on the relationship between low-fat diets and serum testosterone. And there's a lot of testosterone deficiency going around. When men suffer from testosterone deficiency, there's reduced bone mass. There's certainly erectile dysfunction, diminished energy and sex drive, often problems sleeping. Because just as with female menopause, you know, male andropause, men have, you know, it changes the depth of their sleep. Mood swings, reduced semen production, increased body fat, certainly associated with low testosterone, decreased muscle strength, hair loss, hot flashes, actually the hair loss more bodily hair. The head on the hair is inversely correlated. I mean, hair on the head is more inversely correlated with high levels of blood testosterone, serum testosterone, more male pattern baldness, but bodily hair loss associated with low testosterone. Hot flashes, yeah, just like women, reduced testicular size, changes in cognition associated with low testosterone. So this is a study from the Journal of Urology on the relationship between low-fat diet and testosterone levels. And what they found was that individuals on a low-fat diet, a very low-fat diet, and that was simply, that wasn't some eccentric, you know, weirdo fasting regimen. It was simply a low-fat diet as defined by the American Heart Association. They had people adhere to that diet, then they had other people adhere to a Mediterranean diet. Then there were a few people, they couldn't find enough people really to make a valid comparison on a low-carbohydrate diet. And then there was a non-restrictive diet, so they had a lot of people, you know, eat whatever you want. And they found that people on the low-fat diet, their testosterone, the men, was about 30, 40 points lower. Significant difference. There really was a significant difference. So this, I actually wrote about this because I was given the task of writing a chapter on the relationship between diet and sexual performance. So, you know, what am I going to say? I'm going to say, you know, eat, you know, raw oysters or something. You know, there's not a lot to demonstrate that that's going to make you sexier. It's kind of a urban legend. So I really looked at all the scientific literature, and I hearken back to a guy, kind of a crazy guy. His name was John Harvey Kellogg. You know, Kellogg's Corn Flakes? Yeah. He established that company in Battle Creek, Michigan in the 1880s. And it was an outgrowth of the Seventh-day Adventist religion, which is a vegetarian religion. And the idea is that at the time, you know, this is a Victorian era, and there was a lot of, there was a crusade against licentiousness. And masturbation was thought to be something that was draining the vitality of our youth. Very bad thing, you know, harmful, you know, losing your essence. I mean, just moralistic, unscientific stuff that was kind of a reflection of the Victorian mores of the era. And he took it to an extreme, and he wanted to produce a diet that would quell the sexual desire of his young men and women adherents, John Harvey Kellogg did. So he suggested people avoid spices because they were excitatory, but all meats and fats, and go on a very kind of eat a lot of cereal and gruel and, you know, kind of boring, mushy food. And that was very low fat. And so I ask in the article that I wrote about this, it's in the chapter that I wrote in the book on sexual health for Dr. Andrew Weil, part of his ongoing natural health series. I pose the question, could John Harvey Kellogg have been right? And actually, you know, as I did the research, it turns out that those types of very low fat diets and vegan diets, you know, let's face it, let's be real, they really do lower testosterone. Now, this is not to say that you can't be a sexy vegetarian or vegan, but you are somewhat compromising your potential to produce testosterone because it's a sex hormone. It's actually produced from a building block of cholesterol, and certainly protein may enter into the equation. And then you're on a very low-fat, low-protein diet, sparing of key amino acids and cholesterol, you may not have the building blocks to manufacture testosterone. So, you know, interesting study in the Journal of Urology that confirms precisely what I've been saying. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. When we return, we'll take a look at the benefits of green tea for breast cancer and vitamin D and probiotics for gestational diabetes. 877-726-8255. This is Intelligent Medicine. There's never been a more important time to ensure your immune system is operating at its peak. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with a new natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals created exclusively to help promote a better immune response. Elderberry with zinc and echinacea. Future Farm's elderberry with zinc and echinacea is the first to combine these three powerful ingredients together. Elderberry is packed with antioxidants, vitamins, and may boost your immune system. Echinacea has been shown to activate chemicals in the body that decrease inflammation, and zinc activates T lymphocytes. Low zinc has been associated with increased susceptibility. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216. That's 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Elderberry with zinc and echinacea is all natural, science-based, and works without adverse side effects. Take advantage of Future Farm's buy two, get one free offer at myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with one of my personal solutions to better cardiovascular health, Berkeley Life Nitric Oxide Support Supplements. Just two capsules of Berkeley Life daily provide the dietary nitrate equivalent of 7 ounces of beets and can support cardiovascular health, maintain healthy blood pressure levels, and improve overall circulation. For more information and to purchase, just go to drhoffman.com/Berkeley Life. drhoffman.com/Berkeley Life. Berkeley Life Nitric Oxide Support Supplements. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman for Biomega Fish Oil from Biotics Research. For over 40 years, Biotics Research has been providing the highest quality supplements, surpassing industry standards. Biomega Fish Oil contains therapeutic doses of vital omega-3s in the triglyceride form, which is highly bioavailable. Biotics Research ensures maximum purity and freshness by managing their fish oils from catch to capsule. For more information, go to drhoffman.com/bioticsresearch. That's drhoffman.com/bioticsresearch for Biomega Fish Oil. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. And I promised to tell you about a study that looks at the influence of green tea on breast cancer risk and breast cancer recurrence. And shout out to Tori Hudson, naturopathic physician, who does research highlights in something called the Townsend Letter. And she's got a website at Woman's Time. Actually, that's her email, womenstime@AOL.com. So if you want to email her and ask her about her studies. So green tea to reduction of breast cancer risk and recurrence. They did a meta-analysis. So they looked at a bunch of studies. And here's what ends up happening. They looked at 194 studies. And 115 did not meet the inclusion criteria. So they look at some studies and they say, these aren't good enough studies. So they kind of winnow them. Finally, out of 194 studies, they only found 13 that really were conducted properly and could shed light on the question, does green tea have an impact on breast cancer risk and recurrence? And what they found is that 3 of 7 studies on breast cancer recurrence showed a possible protective effect of consuming green tea, and the remaining 4 did not find a statistically significant correlation. And here's possibly why. The potential benefit was seen in those studies that reported 5 cups of green tea per day. So, you know, some studies are going to say, well, you drink a couple of cups of green tea, it's not going to do much. Keep in mind that 3 to 5 cups of green tea per day is approximately equal to 1 to 2 capsules of a green tea extract, which contains 98% polyphenols. Now, you want about 45% of that, at least, to be EGCG. So take an ultra-potent capsule. I don't like green tea myself, so I take a capsule. By the way, you know, not as a preventive against breast cancer, although men get breast cancer, but prostate cancer, there are definitely some good studies showing a protective effect of green tea on prostate cancer. They also found that there was a protective effect of green tea in premenopausal women, while there was no protective effect seen in postmenopausal women. So I don't know, maybe the earlier in life that you begin this, the better. But bottom line, green tea consumption significantly reduced breast cancer recurrence by 19%. So if you had breast cancer, you know, and many put many women on a protocol for prevention of breast cancer recurrence, because breast cancer usually is initially, at the very least initially, is treated successfully. The question is it going to come back, you know, in 2 or 5 or 8 or 12 years? And it behooves women to be on a healthy program, including weight optimization, the right kind of diet, many other supplements. I've published protocols on this, and certainly exercise. Exercise too, you know. Walk for the cure. There's really something to it. All right. Gestational diabetes. Big problem. A lot of women experience elevated blood sugar during pregnancy, and that can threaten the health of the baby, but it's also a portent of the woman's potential to develop diabetes later in life. So, here's a study. Vitamin D and probiotics may help gestational diabetes in some women. It's based on a study from the from Clinical Nutrition, a journal. Effects of vitamin D and probiotic supplementation on glucose homeostasis, inflammation, oxidative stress, and pregnancy outcomes in gestational diabetes. They found a rise in HDL cholesterol, that's good, in total antioxidant capacity, improvements in triglycerides. Remember, this is vitamin D along with probiotics together. Why probiotics? Well, apparently the microbiome, the what's happening inside your gastrointestinal tract, has an impact on your metabolism. So, there you have it. Take probiotics, take vitamin D. They're perfectly safe and reasonable for women to take. You know, I don't like to put women willy-nilly on a million different vitamins and supplements during pregnancy. I'm really a minimalist, but of the supplements, vitamin D and probiotics are real mainstays. Also, some choline that improves kids' intelligence, EPA and DHA, which reduce the risk of miscarriage, some magnesium, perhaps some B6 if there's pregnancy nausea. These are some of the things that we prescribe. All right. You know, there are dwindling opportunities to study true paleo and early Neolithic cultures. Very few parts of the world where they have pristine cultures that are really isolated from civilization. So, in the Amazon, that's one of the places where they go to find these types of folks. A group of forager farmers in Bolivia's tropical forests, known for having remarkable cardiovascular health and low blood pressure well into their advanced years, experienced changes in body mass and diet over a 9-year period. So what is it about their diets that was their most notable dietary change? Well, there was a Baylor University anthropologist, Dr. Alan Schultz, who went down there, and he studied the Tsimani people. It's a pre-industrial society. They traditionally hunt, fish, farm, and gather food for their subsistence. They have little plots where they grow some crops, you know, maybe some manioc or, you know, some root vegetables. But there's been a change. From 2002 to the present time, greater access to and reliance on market foods that they obtain in trade, such as refined grains, refined sugar, cooking oil, and also some domesticated foods like pork, chicken, and eggs. But the big factor, they think, in their increased risk of obesity and high blood pressure and diabetes is the addition of cooking oil. Okay? Women's prevalence of overweight increased from 22%, increased, let's say it was a funny statistic. Oh, I'm sorry, increased from 22% to 29%. Men's prevalence of overweight increased from 16% to 25%. More use of cooking oil was associated with increased body mass index among females. So there you have, you know, cooking oil, like cheap cooking oil, soy oil, and it's a source of concentrated calories, but it also gums up your cellular machinery, and can put you on a pathway towards Western degenerative diseases. So it's interesting. I mean, it's, and a lot of things change. You know, was it sugar? Was it starch? Was it refined grains? Cooking oil still was the biggest factor. This item has to do with the effect of exercise on brain function. And it's proof positive that you can improve your brain by getting a move on. New findings show that on top of its benefits for metabolism, mood, and general health, exercise also improves brain function. So the researchers theorize, you know, how is that? Well, first of all, exercise increases BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which is basically like Miracle-Gro for your brain cells. But they also found that exercise reduces insulin resistance in the brain. So there's like a blood sugar component to this, certainly reducing blood dietary carbohydrates and sugar can have a beneficial impact on brain function. But so, too, did exercise. It reduced insulin resistance in the brain. Behaviorally, participants reported an improvement in mood and task switching, which is an indicator for improved executive function. The bottom line is that exercise improves brain function. So, you know, whatever shape you're in, really try to stay active through your senior years, something that I endeavor to do, at least 30 minutes of exercise on a daily basis. Well, thanks very much for joining us. You can stay a more informed listener to Intelligent Medicine by checking out our website at drhoffman.com, download our podcast, subscribe to our newsletter, follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and make sure that you continue to listen to our weekend program when we return next week. Thanks for joining us. Have yourselves a great weekend. This is Intelligent Medicine.